Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. If you want to open the window, if it is hot, we can open the window.
I don't feel hot.
It's good? Okay. So, inshallah, sister, today we will continue with the second part of the sermon of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was conducted during Hajj. Last week we learned about the first part of this sermon, and actually our beloved Prophet reminded us regarding the following important rules in Islam. Number one, the human rights regarding the life and property of every Muslim, which must be considered as a sacred trust. Number two, usury is forbidden and a sin and must be forbidden. Number three, that we must beware of shaitan, because he is our main enemy and we must never follow his rules. Today, inshallah, we will continue with the second part of this sermon, which is the last sermon for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And because of that, it is very important, because he reminded us with all the important rules in Islam. Now we will continue to learn about the rest of the sermon. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have right over you. So today, inshallah, we will revise the rights of women in Islam so that we can be sure that women are highly respected in Islam and they have the best right in this merciful religion. Now we will learn, number one, that Islam honors women and respects their dignity. We will read from Surah number 16, verse number 58 and 59. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به أيمسكه على هون أم يدسه في التراب ألا ساء ما يحكمون.
And when the news of the birth of a female child is brought to any of them, his face becomes dark and he is filled with inward grief. He hides himself from the people because of the evil of that whereof he has been informed. Shall he keep her with dishonor or bury her in the earth? Certainly evil is their decision.
So actually, sisters, in the pre-Islamic society, women were treated with oppression and abuse. Female infanticide was widespread in Arabia, and these females who survived were given a position much inferior to that of a man. Women were inherited like animals and property. That is to say, the relatives of a deceased man can marry his widow if he wanted. So suppose a man has his wife and the man died, any of his relatives, his brother, you know, he will take the property, he will take the woman and he will marry her. She doesn't have the right to choose to marry him or not to marry or whatever, he will just take her. Yes, Arabs could divorce women and stipulate that they couldn't marry anymore without the consent of their former husbands. You see, he will marry her, then he will not allow her to marry, except with his permission. So actually, this was what is going on, you know, before Islam. But then Islam comes and Islam honors the woman. And we will learn the proofs now about how Islam honors the woman and how Islam makes the man and the woman equal in front of Allah. We will read now from Surah number 4, verse number 1, about the proofs that Islam raised the relation between man and woman from the low position to a level befitting the women's dignity. Surah number 4. Actually, Surah number 4 is called Surah the Women chapter. And this is, you know, a proof that Islam respected the woman, because there is a chapter in the Quran called the Women chapter. This is number 1. We will read the first verse of the Women chapter. الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا.
O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, Adam. And from him, Adam, he created his wife Hawa, Eve. And from them both, he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights. And do not cut the relations of the womb's kinship. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you.
So actually, sisters, Allah in this verse is clarifying to us that all humanity have the same origin, because our origin is Prophet Adam and his wife Eve. So all of us are having the same origin. There is no superiority of anyone over the other. We all belong to our Creator Allah, who has established us on the earth. The woman Eve was created from the first human soul, Adam, in order that to be its mate, and therefore for all the men and women to assure forth from them both. This means that all human beings from Prophet Adam until the Day of Judgment, they are one family, because they are all from the same father and mother. Okay? Both men and women are two parts of a single spirit, because from Prophet Adam, Eve was created. Okay? So they are both of them, you know, two parts of a single spirit. There is no difference between men and women regarding the nature or the origin, because the woman is from the man. Okay? So the origin of the woman is the man. So both of them are from the same origin. Okay, men and women are not identical, but pair of each part of which complements the other. A pair, each part, you know, a complement.
Complement.
Yes, complement the other. Okay, so if you and your husband, two parts, you know, you must complement each other. You are not identical. I am not supposed to say, you know, my husband must be identical to me. No, your husband will complement you, but your husband will never be identical to you. Okay? Men and women are equal in front of the law and in all civil rights in Islam. Okay? We will learn about the second proof that Islam raised the relation between men and women. Okay, we will read from Surah number 16, verse number 97. الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صحاً من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون.
Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer of Islamic monotheism, verily to him we will give a good life in this world with respect, contentment, and lawful provision, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do in paradise hereafter.
Okay. So actually, Allah is mentioning, you know, a male or a female. Okay? And this means that, you know, regarding the duties and regarding the reward, they are equal. Okay? Male or female, okay, they have the same duties. You must believe and do a good deed. if you believe and do good deeds, whether you are a male or female, okay, Allah will reward you for the best of your duties in the hereafter. Okay? And also Allah will make for you a good life, whether you are a male or a female. So this is the proof of the equality of males and females. Again, we will read from the same chapter, from the chapter of the women, chapter 4, we will read verse number 32. Because this chapter is actually discussing most of the issues related to the women. We will read now from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 32. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبنا واسألوا الله من فضله إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما.
And wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. For men there is reward for what they have earned, and likewise for women there is reward for what they have earned. And ask Allah of His bounty. Surely Allah is ever all-knower of everything.
Actually, as Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, women are the twin halves of men. Islam gives to the women the right of individual ownership, the right which was denied by societies before Islam. Okay, so you must know that if you have your own private company, okay, your husband doesn't have any right to have any of your money. Not because you are his wife, okay, he is supposed to take control of the company and to take control of your money. No, never at all. Okay, you have the right of your individual ownership. And there are many wives whom they are very rich and they have companies and they own a lot and their husband doesn't have anything. Okay, marriage, actually now we will learn about women in marriage and how in Islam still women have the best rights as wives, so that inshallah we will be sure of the equality of a husband and wife in Islam, because still, there are many Western people whom they always blame Islam, that Islam is the religion of oppression of the women, even in marriage. Okay? Actually, sisters, we must know that marriage is a human institution which is highly respectable in Islam. And there are many proofs from the Quran and the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding women's rights in marriage. Number one, you must know that marriage is a pledge that must be respected by every believer. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that the pledge of marriage is given in the name of Allah. What is the meaning of that? The meaning is that Allah is witness on that pledge of marriage. So I am the husband, Muslim husband, is not supposed, after having this pledge of marriage, is that to start to treat his wife in a bad way, not to take care of her, to ask her to give him his salary. All these kinds of oppression, he is not supposed to do it. Why? Because the pledge of marriage was witnessed by Allah. He is not alone in this life to oppress or to transgress. So long he has the pledge of marriage, if he is treating his wife in a bad way, she will tell him, divorce me. He will tell her, no, never, I will not divorce you, because I am the one controlling the marriage. This is not the right of marriage, understanding, the marriage in Islam. Out of the pledge of marriage, the husband is the one controlling, okay, this contract. But he is not alone. Allah is there. Allah is the witness. Allah is the one who can take care of him if he will oppress his wife. So we must remember that Allah is the witness on the pledge of marriage, and the man doesn't have the right to control everything, believing that he can keep the marriage or he can end the marriage up to his wish or up to his point of view or desire. This is not right. Marriage is more serious than this. Marriage is the pledge which is witnessed by Allah, given in the name of Allah. So Allah is taking care of what is going on, and Allah will not allow a man or a husband to oppress his wife, forgetting that that pledge of marriage was in his name, in the name of Allah. Every husband must understand this fact. Number two, in Islam, both husband and the wife have the right to choose the partner. Okay, there must be acceptance and approval of the acceptance from the husband and the wife. What is the meaning of this? In Islam, suppose, inshallah, you are 21 and you will be married. Okay, inshallah, there must be a man as, you know, the wali for you. What is the meaning? Your father, her aunt, the sheikh in the masjid, you know. When the pledge of marriage will be done, the contract will be written, the wife will not attend. The husband will attend, and someone who is, you know, on her behalf. But that man who is in her behalf, he must have her acceptance. And the one who is writing the contract must hear that she's saying, yes, I accept that man. Because there are some fathers whom they want their daughters to marry someone, and the daughter is not happy. The father will be, you know, her wali, the one responsible for her. So he will come at the time of writing the contract and saying, my daughter is accepting that man. But in fact, she's not accepting. So in Islam, the one who is writing the contract might listen to yes from the wife. You know, this is in Islam that she must say yes and she must accept and she must give her approval. Okay? Also in Islam, so this means that in Islam the women have the free of choice regarding their husbands. Because there are some communities, you know, in some of the villages, you know, they were under the impression that if the father agree, this means that automatically his daughter is accepting that marriage. This is wrong. This is, you know, this means that this marriage is not halal. You know, this marriage is not valid. To have a valid marriage in Islam, the wife must accept that marriage, okay, and she must be the one, you know, to give her approval. All of these are proof that, you know, women are not oppressed in Islam and they are pushed to marry whoever their father choose. No, this is wrong. If some people are following this practice, this is their problem, not the problem of Islam. Okay? Do you want to ask about anything? Okay. Also, sisters, in Islam, the husband has the responsibility to provide the essential needs of the family. Okay? And this means that these needs are the food, clothes, treatment, and residence. Okay, so suppose I marry my husband, for example, he is a teacher, and he is supposed, you know, to provide all these essential needs. But it happens that he lost his job, okay, still it is his responsibility to find another job and to support the family. Okay, this is Islam, because in Islam, this is the responsibility of the husband to go outside the home and to work in order to provide the essential needs. And the responsibility of the wife is to raise the kids. Everyone has his own responsibility. There must be no mixing of the responsibilities. Because when there is mixing of the responsibilities, all the family, you know, will suffer for this. Suppose my husband will not find work for some time. I'm not supposed to tell him, forget it. Stay at home, take care of the kids, and I will be the one to work out. No problem, we are husband and wife. No, this is wrong attitude. This doesn't mean that you love him. No, you are not. This is not, you know, the proof of love. Stay at home, become a mother, take care of the kids, and I will be the father. Because it is always that the one who is earning the money is the one who is controlling the situation. Okay? So, Allah made the husband to earn the money so that she will have a man to give the rules, you know? To say stop here and move here, because any human being is always in need of that kind of, you know, rules and regulation. Women are emotional, okay? They are controlling life with their feelings. So So I will not put rules. If today I will tell, for example, to my daughter, stay with me, don't go out, then she will start crying, I will tell her, okay, go, go, no problem. We will not say this to your father. We will hide it from him. You see, this is how everything will be upside down. Rules are rules. And because the man can put the rules, okay, and can be tough to control the rules, okay, this is why he must earn the money so that he will have a rule. Otherwise, if he is not earning, his wife will never give him the rules. You know, this is the nature of the women. Okay? Now we will continue with the rules, you know, and the rights of women in Islam. Kind treatment is a duty of every husband. Okay? And actually, sisters, in Islam, the relation between the husband and the wife is based on freedom of choice, which indicates that affection, mercy, love, and compassion are the basic feelings between the husband and the wife. But still, there are some times that, you know, the events or the situation can lead to hatred. Different points of view, yes. Accordingly, Allah the Almighty is controlling all this situation through advising the husbands. You see, in Islam, Allah didn't advise the wife. Allah advised the husband to control their anger and the hate towards their wives. Okay, this is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah number 4, verse number 19. Consort with them in a good manner. Let us read this verse of the Quran. It is an important one. Okay, let us read Surah number 4. In Arabic, Allah said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa'ashiruhun bil-ma'ruf. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah said, consort with them in a good manner. Even if you are adverse to them, it may well be that you are adverse to something which is Allah has placed much good. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this, Allah, the Almighty, the Creator, He knows the nature of the human spirits. So Allah is sending this command. This is a command from Allah to the husbands to treat women kindly. Then Allah, you know, gives, you know, a good reason, you know, for the husbands to treat the women kindly, even if they are emotional, even, you know, if sometimes, you know, it is difficult to handle them, okay? Allah said, you know, as a reason for this command, treat them kindly, because you may hate something, and there is a lot of blessings in that issue. What is the meaning of this? Allah is sending the message, for example, to my husband, okay, when he reads the Quran, treat Mona kindly, because you may hate Mona, but there are a lot of, blessings in Mona. There is a lot of good in Mona. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that you may hate her, for example, because she is nervous, because she's not taking much care of the, you know, of her house. Maybe she is not cooking good food. Okay, there is a problem with Mona. Okay. But Allah is telling her, maybe Mona, keeping Mona with you, you know, is a big blessing in your life. Maybe because Mona is doing supplication for you. Maybe because Mona is an honest person. She is not a good cook, but she's an honest person. And to be honest is more important than to be a good cook. You get my point? Allah, the Almighty, knows the nature of the spirit. If I realize that, that woman, whom she is sometimes nervous, not a good cook, but there is a lot of blessing in that woman, I will keep her, and I will not fight with her, and I will not divorce her. Allah gives this command to the husband, because the husband is the one who can divorce. So, if he is not happy with me, he may divorce me at any time. Allah is telling him, stop. Don't think of this, because you may hate her for something, but there is a lot of good in that person. So again and again, sister, this is the mercy of Allah. There are a lot of women whom they are keeping their wives because of this verse of the Quran. And whenever someone will ask him, even one of the second, Khalifa or ruler in Islam, his name was Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was a very strong man in everything, in his religion, in his personality, in his rules. And his wife was fighting with him and all the time calling him, not in a good way. So everyone was telling him, you are very tough with everyone. How you can adapt to live with this woman whom she is always, saying, bad words. So he said, because of this verse of the Quran, Allah commanded me to keep her. Maybe there is a lot of good in her. So I am tolerating her. So, sister, this is the mercy of Islam. Because actually maybe the wives are doing a lot of job at home. But also they are always frustrated, not happy, complaining, And because of that, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that he saw the hellfire, And he noted that most of the residents in the hellfire are women. He was warning the women. So they asked him, why? We pray as you pray, the women pray as the men pray, we fast, we do everything. Why we are supposed to be, most of the residents of the hellfire are women? He said, because they always complain from their husbands. If you ask her, are you happy with your husband? She will say, I never see one good day with him. You see? She will forget all the good days, okay? And she will all the time mention one thing. Never. He is never a good man. You see? And because of that, they will be in the hellfire. So, sister, this is, the reality of Islam is that women are very emotional and they always like to complain. Yes, actually, whenever you will call any women in the morning, Assalamu alaikum, sisters. How are you? Weekend is big trouble in my life. I can't tolerate it anymore. Always fighting, even in the Eid fighting, all the time fighting. I don't know how I live all this time with that man. It is too difficult for me. You will never call any sister in the morning and tell her, Assalamu alaikum, sister, how are you? Are you happy? She will answer, my husband is a blessing from Allah. I never.
He left his shoes under the table. He did the clothes away. Everything, yeah.
Complaining. So, sister, we have to remind ourselves about our own mistakes. You are laughing.
If I love my husband, then I would never say, oh, he's a blessing. He is, don't get me wrong.
So be aware, otherwise you will have your residency. After all this headache in the worldly life, your husband will cause the headache in the worldly life and he will send to the hellfire. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding treatment the wives and encouraging their respect, the world and all the things are precious, but the most precious thing in the world is a righteous woman. The best property a man can have is a remembering tongue, a grateful heart, and a believing wife who helps him in his faith. He also said, treat women kindly, fear Allah regarding women. And he said, the more civil and kind a Muslim is to his wife, the more perfect in faith he is. So this is the proof that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was encouraging every husband to treat his wife in a good way. All praise to Allah. We learn that Islam encouraging the kind treatment regarding the women. Now we will continue with the sermon of Prophet Muhammad. Actually, the fifth advice of Prophet Muhammad was related to the five obligatory pillars of Islam. And actually, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, listen to me in earnest, worship Allah, say your five daily prayers, salah, fast during the month of Ramadan, and give your wealth in zakat, perform hajj if you can afford it. So this is the reminder of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, regarding the five pillars of Islam. And actually, sisters, this is very important reminder, because there are some Muslims whom they forget about the importance of the prayers. Especially some of the Muslims are not praying the five daily prayers. Prayer in Islam is very highly respected, and we must always remind ourselves that our beloved Prophet in his last sermon reminded us regarding the five pillars of Islam, especially the prayers. The sixth advice or reminder of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was related to our relation with each other as Muslims. He said, you know that every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. You are all equal. Nobody has superiority over other except by piety and good action. So again, sisters, we were reminded that we are all equal, and we are sisters and brothers to each other, because as we learn that our father is the same Prophet Adam, we are all equal, we are sisters and brothers, okay? And actually, the superiority in Islam is not up to the race, but it is all to the gender. Okay, but it is up to piety and good action. Okay, so if you want to prove that you are highly ranked regarding Allah, okay, it is not up to your wealth or your race, it is up to your piety and good action. The eighth advice of Prophet Muhammad, the seventh reminder of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he said that he is the seal of the prophets. What is the meaning of this? This means that he is the last prophet to be sent to humanity to call people to the true worship of Allah and to remove people from ignorance. So we must be aware that whoever will call to any religion after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a liar. We are not supposed to follow any religion after the religion of Islam. It is the last religion. The eighth reminder was related that we must hold fast and live according to the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, because the shaitan will never stop to mislead us from following these two great references. And actually, sisters, whatever disaster Muslims are living as a nation, it is because that they are not following the rules of the Quran and the sunnah, or the sayings and action of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why there is a lot of failure of marriages in Islam regarding Muslims? Because the husband and the wife are not living Islam as an act of worship. Because the husband and the wife, both of them, are not accepting the rules of Islam regarding the rights of their life companions. In Islam, I am supposed to obey my husband, and this is actually called we are supposed to be devoutly obedient to our husband. What is the meaning of this? I am obeying him, because I am willing to obey him, because I am not obeying him. In reality, I am obeying Allah. Because Allah commanded me to try as I can, so long my husband is not commanding me to do something bad, I am supposed to try to accept his advices and to live our life according to what we both agree for. But if we have different points of view, it will be his point of view. You know why? His point of view will be the one to be followed, because he is the one responsible to support the family. So long he is responsible to support our family and we have different points of view, let the one taking the responsibility, okay, let us follow his point of view. Because if his point of view is wrong, he will pay for his wrong decision by keeping supporting the family. Suppose me and my husband now have different points of view regarding staying in America or returning back to Egypt. So suppose I want to stay in America, and my husband tell me regarding my job, I prefer to go to Egypt now. So in Islam, we must follow his point of view. Why? Because if we move according to his point of view to Egypt and he will find the job, well, suppose he didn't find the proper job in Egypt, it is not my problem. It is his problem to support the family. So he will suffer a lot because of his decision. Okay, this is Islam. Still, he must support the family. But suppose that we are not Muslims, or we are Muslims, as we are, I am clarifying, we are Muslims, but we are not following the rules of Quran or the Prophet Muhammad rule. So, when he will tell me, I want to go to Egypt now, my job is not in a good shape, I tell him, no, we will stay in America. He will tell me, but who will take the responsibility? I will tell you, you will take the responsibility. He will tell me, so long I take the responsibility, follow my point of view. I tell him, no, we must stay in America. Then you see, nonsense. This is the nonsense which causes the failure of the marriage. Then we stay in America and he didn't find a job. Then we will start to fight. Okay? Then there will be the failure. Why the failure? You know, was the end of this couple? Because they didn't follow the rules of the Quran and the Sunnah. If there is two different points of view, it will be his point of view. You know, this is Islam. Okay? So, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was reminding every one of us regarding that we, as Muslims, we have two references only. The Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his rules. If you want to have this reference in your life, okay, inshallah, your life will be the best life. But as still you are a Muslim, and you say, you know, when I tell you, sisters, what is the reference for your rules in life, you tell me the reference is, you know, this philosophy, you know, I follow Aflatoon, or I follow this, or I follow that, or I follow my point of view. I have, you know, very good book of philosophy and rules which I like and I am following. So I tell you, sister, what about Quran and Sunnah? No, for me it is difficult. I agreed with my husband that we will not follow these two references. Total failure. You must be sure, sister. Why I am sure? Because the one who creates life is the one who puts the plans for every one of us. Okay? So, Allah, for example, created me as a Muslim, or you are Muslim, you choose to become Muslim. If you choose to become Muslim, or I am created as a Muslim, I have this reference. You know, this is the rule. You don't want to follow this reference. Are you aware who is behind this reference? The one who is behind this reference is the one who is planning your life. And you are telling him, I don't like it. It is not good for me. So, what he is supposed to teach you, he will teach you by experience. You will pay the price that this is the book of the Creator of you and your life and everything. You are telling him, this book is not right. He will put you in situations where you will suffer a lot and you will realize that I did the biggest mistake in my life, that I am living against the rules of my Creator. He will make everything in your life upside down. And most of the people are not aware of this fact because they don't know this, what I am mentioning now. Whatever we are discussing, very logically, they don't know it. So the life is a mess. Muslims and non-Muslims. Okay? But we are learning about Islam. So why a lot of Muslims, most of the Muslims, are not happy, their families are not in a good shape, their kids are not in a good shape, their wealth is not in a good shape, and everything is upside down? Because of one fact. The Creator gives all of us, you know, the reference. But we are telling him, we are very sorry. Your reference is not right. So he must prove that his reference is right. So we are struggling in life against ourselves. We are paying the price of our mistake. Why? If I am a logic person, and believe me, you know, all, you know, I love Islam and I love the Quran by heart. But when I think logically, I feel that this is the best way to call the Muslims to follow the Quran. Allah is the one controlling everything. Allah is the one, you know, who can make now that, you know, the wind will be very strong in 1 second, then the light will be off, then we can be locked in the masjid. Yes, then we may die tonight. Very cold, no AC, we cannot, doors are locked and none knows that we are in. They are under the impression that we finished the class and we went home. And the cell phones are not working, anything. And that's it. Very simple. Death, you know, Allah is, you know, commanding everything in this life by one word, be, and it will be. If Allah says be, that's it. If Allah says be for this situation, if all the people all over the world will be in the door, we are dead. Because He said be. So if this is Allah, why we are not obeying Him? Very simply, why we are not choosing? Because when I choose, I will be convinced and I will be happy. I will be happy that I am on the right track. I will have the confidence, you know, that I am on the right track. In the worldly life, you are in great need of the confidence that you are on the right track. Otherwise, you will never follow the right, not the right track to pray and to fast. No, the right track is that when someone will come and tell me, why you are always obeying your husband? Why you are always treating him in a nice way? Why you respect him more than he respects you? You have a very weak personality. Okay, and he will never appreciate this. Oh, very bad life. I will never answer. Even to answer her, I will. If all the people on the world will give me this message, I will never answer. Why? Because I am confident that I am on the right track. We are, you know, headless. They don't know anything. What can I do for them? And I cannot change them. And I cannot convince them. This is up to the Lord. They deserve. They deserve this ignorance. They deserve this difficult life. Not because of me. Because they mislead themselves, you know, in spite of the fact they have mind. And all this conversation will be on the Day of Judgment. And because of that, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he reminded the Muslims also in his last sermon about the Day of Judgment, because he said, you are all, in one day you will appear before Allah and you will answer for your deeds. So beware, don't astray from the path of rightness after I am gone. So, you know, sisters, again and again, Prophet Muhammad at the end said to Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, O Allah, be my witness that I have conveyed your message to your people. And as I mentioned last class, after this sermon, 3 months after this sermon, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, died. Okay, and the message on the earth ended. And the guidance and the source of the guidance is already sent, and everyone has the right to choose. Okay, so actually I choose this sermon because we were in, you know, the days of Hajj, and I want to remind us about Hajj and about the last sermon of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how he was very serious up to last sermon to convey his message to the Muslims and to remind them with all the rules of Islam, so that inshallah Allah will guide all the Muslims. Inshallah, from next week we will continue again with the diseases of the heart, inshallah, and let us make the dua. Rahman Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Ameen. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.